BYUSN, with week one of the college football season in the books, where do we have BYU stacked up among all 16 Big 12 teams? We'll release our first Big 12 power poll of the season. BYU TV analyst David Nixon joins us in studio. What did he like from BYU against Portland State? And what are his expectations for the Cougars against the Cardinals? Offensive lineman Bruce Mitchell breaks down why the BYU offense had so much success in week one and which play did Bear Bachmeyer tell him in the huddle? It's going to be a tutty. And Stanford head coach Frank Reich had high praise for the BYU defense, comparing Jay Hill's group to the NFL.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Tuesday, September 2nd. Happy anniversary to the show.
That's right.
12 years ago today.
12 score and seven. Nope. 12 years ago, we started the show today. Yeah, that's right.
Still here. I am Spencer Linton, and he is telegram deliverer Jerem Jordan.
Love me a good telegram. Here's the latest from Captain Andrew Luck on Twitter. Dearest mother, the unit has reached the land of Utah. We shall drill throughout the week to ready for the Cougar unit. We are practicing a pounce defense to combat these big cat men. I've received your care package of salty raccoon knees and sweet snake necks, Andrew. This is real content that is out on Twitter. We're not creating this. This has been posting for years because Andrew Luck looks like he'd be like a Civil War general. And now he's the general of the Stanford Cardinal.
I hope there are more of these.
I believe there will be. I love that it says parody account under it, like it's not real.
Wait, it's not real? Snake necks and raccoon knees were not enough to tip off everybody that this is not a serious account.
By the way, that reminds me of Oregon Trail. I played Oregon Trail as a kid. We all did, I think, our age group. But I lived in Oregon, so yes. I thought, what's the point? I'm already here.
Yes.
I have arrived at the end.
You have died of typhoid.
No, I didn't. I got to Portland.
I would just hunt all the time. That was the activity in third grade. Just let me go hunt for buffalo and get like 3,000 pounds of meat.
Give me so much flour. I'm trading, bartering.
Oregon Trail generation.
Oh, good.
Love that. On that note, and with a salute to Captain Andrew
you
Luck.
You died.
Rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
12 last year was incredibly deep and a tough league to compete in at the highest level. This year, I think it'll be the same way. As long as the young quarterback, Bear Bachmeyer, can continue his progression, BYU can be one of those teams that's in the mix.
Well, it felt like it took forever, but week one of the college football season is officially in the books. We love it. There were games in week zero, and then obviously last week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and last night even with TCU and North Carolina. It all culminated in TCU dismantling Chapel Bill and Bill Belichick's North Carolina Tar Heels 48-14 on the road. The Horned Frogs we thought would be pretty good. They looked the part through one game. So let's take a look at some of the numbers for the Big 12 through week one. 15-4 overall record as a conference, but just 2-3 in Power 4 non-conference games. Not the strongest of showings there. 3-0 against group of six opponents and 9-0 against FCS opponents. We should note Iowa State already has a 1-0 record in the Big 12 because they beat Kansas State in that game in Ireland. So, with those numbers now fresh on the mind, let's introduce our first Big 12 conference football power polls following week one. Jerem, where do you have, most importantly, BYU ranked among those Big 12 teams after just one game?
Okay, first off, I said I didn't want the AP poll till like week six, so I'm not sure why I'm doing this after week one, but let's have some fun. We got
Embrace
5 hours to
it.
Fill. I have BYU fourth, Spence. Let's talk about it. Iowa State, with that win against K-State, looked good last week as well. I have them at one. I don't like who I have at two, but they looked great against UCLA. TCU was awesome last night. They looked great. I have BYU at four. I think BYU, Texas Tech, Kansas could switch 4-6, that could be in the mix. It's so early, too. One game for most teams. The only reason I have Arizona State way down here and not probably top three is because they gave up 19 points to Northern Arizona. 19, that's just too much to give up to that team. To me, early on, it should be somewhat volatile because I'm not playing the perception of Arizona State. I'm playing what they did on the field. Baylor, Colorado, Cincinnati, they all played Power Four teams, and they played somewhat competitively. Baylor, maybe not so much, but I still like them a little bit. That's why I have them above some teams who have won. K-State, I have 11th. They could easily skyrocket up there. They have not looked great. They almost lost to North Dakota. And then I have 5-1-0 teams at the bottom. Why are they down here? They played teams that they should have beaten, and they didn't really play that well. UCF survived against Jacksonville State, Oklahoma State. Didn't score a ton. Houston only 27 points against Stephen F. Austin. Arizona looked pretty good against Hawaii. I think Hawaii stinks. Stanford should have beaten them. West Virginia is 1-0 as well. So it's early. It can be very volatile, but I think BYU is I have them at 4. I would put them in the top 6 right now. So that's where I have them. Spencer, where do you have BYU in the Big 12 Power Poll?
Well, wouldn't you know, Jerem, we agree. BYU right at number 4. Not a ton of variation between our two polls when you look at the top 8 specifically. I, too, have Iowa State number 1. I did place TCU at number 2 and Utah at number 3. I really believe in Josh Hoover and that TCU offense. And I think that Sonny Dykes has figured out something as well after they had kind of a weird year defensively. But still, it's essentially the same. 1, 2, 3, and 4. The only difference between our polls is TCU and Utah are flip-flop. I have Texas Tech at number 5. Arizona State, close to where you had them, 1 spot up at number 6. Kansas, I really like them. And a healthy Jalen Daniels, I think they could be formidable. But what are they going to do when they take on some real competition? Because, frankly, Wagner and Fresno State, not really doing it.
But looked good. I mean, the same argument could be made for BYU, Texas Tech, you know, a lot of teams that played FCS foes in week 1.
I still believe that Baylor is a really good football team.
I do, too.
Auburn also is a great team, and they went in there and beat Baylor in Waco. But Sawyer Robertson is
through for 419.
Arguably the best draft prospect of the quarterbacks in the Big 12.
Interesting.
Yeah. He's up there.
Dallin Leavitt has something to say about
it. He's up there. Arizona, I have at number 9. I know it's one game, but they did beat at least a group of 6 opponent. It wasn't FCS. They throttled Hawaii, who beat Stanford. Okay? 40-6. I know, not great.
Hawaii's not great, right?
But it's good enough for me to say, okay, Arizona, I'll give you the 9 spot. I have Kansas State at number 10. West Virginia, Colorado, and then Cincinnati, Houston, Oklahoma State, and UCF in that order. So we do have a little bit of variation between Arizona specifically. And, yeah, I don't know about Cincinnati because I don't think Nebraska's great, Jeremy.
I don't either. And they were competitive. They were in it. They should have tied that game with the field goal late. They threw a pick. And a few teams. It's so early. It's so early.
Yes.
I would prefer to kind of start this in a couple weeks once we have a little more volume. But, you know, based on one game, don't forget, Utah started 4-0, was top 15 last year, and then they went on a 7-game losing streak. You know, things can happen. Utah looked very good. Matt Leinart says, hey, Devin Dampier is Kyler Murray. It's like, it's quite the statement after one game. But let's play it out a little bit.
Yeah, what is UCLA? Frankly, what is North Carolina? And after TCU dismantled them, how do they get out of a tailspin, it seems?
And if we're going to do this every week, I'm going to let it be as volatile as the games are. Not what I think they're going to do, just what's happening.
Rank them based on what they have done right now.
That's why if Arizona State had won 50-0 or 69-0 like BYU would, I might have put them number 2.
Yes. Who has the best resume right now? It's Iowa State.
Iowa State.
They have a ranked win in Ireland early. Tough game. Tough location.
That opponent could be unranked today.
It's true.
We'll see.
But they have a conference win.
Yeah.
And they beat a Power 4 team, only one of 2 Big 12 teams to win a Power 4 non-conference game over the weekend. The other was
TCU.
Well, I guess Utah did as well.
And Utah.
Yeah.
So
3. So there are 3. But that's week 1. Week 0, they have a Power 4 win.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Gotcha.
But point is, those were tough to come by. After that, it's like most of these teams have played FCS foes.
Yes. Are we pretty biased putting BYU at 4 instead of, say, 6 or 7?
I think 4 is fair. Like, if
they
put BYU
almost perfect
at 2 or 3, then it's like, okay, take off the blue goggles.
And I admit BYU could be 5 or 6. You know,
Texas Tech looked really good in their
But it was the same thing. Arkansas
game.
Pine Bluff, big win. They give up 7 points, whatever. Yeah, you give up one play from your third stringers where the other team scores. The thing with Arizona State is it was 19 points. It wasn't like it was 7 or even maybe 10. I was like, 19?
Jerem, 4 through 7 could all be interchangeable.
Sure.
That's what I felt this morning.
Yeah.
We had BYU at 4, but like they could be 6 or 7, and it, okay, I get it.
And frankly, beating Stanford and say ECU in the next couple of weeks, remember BYU has a bye week between games 2 and 3, isn't going to skyrocket them significantly. Those aren't opponents that really burst.
Yeah.
But if you're 3-0 and there's hardly any teams that are 3-0 maybe in the league, I think a bunch will be 3-0. We'll have to see where they fit in there. But right now, BYU looked great. Now, if it was 42-0, let's say BYU didn't score in the second half.
Maybe they're 7.
Yeah. The volatility of what your backups do.
And of 1 week.
It's so early. Again, I would prefer we just wait on
this.
The sample size is tiny. We went around Costco, if you will, and we took a couple samples, and we were like, this is amazing! You're the best sample! Like, it was just a little early for all of this, let's be honest.
It's true. We need more. And in fact, Matt Berry told me this at Big 12 Media Days. Give me at least a month.
I agree with this.
At least a month before you, like, get into the national rankings.
And even then?
Four games.
We don't really know what a team is or have a good sense halfway through the season.
Until there are a few games into conference.
But we're going to do a lot of shows. We got content. We got to give you some content.
What makes it fun? The projections.
Oh, wait. That's what we did.
Yeah. And again, this is a projection. Doubling down on that idea. This power poll is based on what has been done, not what we think will happen.
I would argue it's not a projection. It's just a reaction.
Yeah.
We're not projecting to the future
at all.
Not at all. We're just reacting what's happening.
It's not a projection.
It is a
clear reaction. So I'm agreeing with you. Doubling down.
Yes.
It's what has been done, not what we think is going to happen by December 6th.
Moving forward, I would have Arizona State top three if it was. I think they're good still.
Yes.
I didn't early in the preseason. Then I dug in a little more. I was like, oh, it's everybody but Cam Skadbubek. Granted, he was a big piece.
Okay. Now, we've given you the Big 12 standings and our power poll after weeks 0 and 1. Then in the national landscape, Jerem, things get interesting here. But first, we go to our question of the day. Where do you rank BYU among all 16 Big 12 teams after that first week? At Kramer Holly on X says, definitely in the top 6.
Yeah, that's what we said too.
Given disparities in competition, it's hard to parse out where in the top 6, though.
Mm-hmm.
He says, BYU, Utah, Texas Tech, Arizona State, Iowa State, and TCU. Those are the 6. And just kind of
we had Kansas in the mix too. You had Arizona State. I had Kansas in the top 6.
Yeah.
Arizona State 7. Yeah.
At BYU Cook 24_7 answers on X and says, believe it or not, I have BYU at number 3.
Okay.
Very good teams do what BYU did against lower division opponents, and that's what happened.
So is Texas Tech way high 2 on your list because they did the same thing basically? Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Yeah, wasn't it
61-7 or something?
60, yeah, something only, in the 60s.
Only 7. A 54-point win. Yeah.
Imagine only
Brigham
winning
by 69. Largest margin of victory in a shutout in BYU history, by the way.
How about that?
Pretty good.
On X, Facebook, and Instagram to answer that conversation.
Okay, call your shot. We're going to get the AP Top 25 today because we had TCU UNC yesterday. Where will BYU land if they are in, and do you think they're in?
Oh, Jerem, I want to say that BYU is going to be in the top 25.
Tell me.
I think it would be a fun rhetoric.
You said last week if they won, you thought they'd probably be in.
Yes.
And?
Yes. Because Florida State beat Alabama, and they're going to steal a spot, even if Kansas State and Boise State drop out.
Boise State's out.
Okay, sure. Boise State's done, yes.
Do you think K-State will be out?
I believe they'll be out.
Okay.
So there are 2 open spots.
Okay.
But Utah was so dominant against UCLA.
I agree, they're in.
Florida State beat up on Alabama. I feel like those are the 2 teams that were unranked that are going to jump into the poll.
I agree.
And BYU will be 1 spot out.
You think they'll still be 1 spot
out? Yes, I think they'll be 1 spot out.
I think they could be 2 or 3 spots out. Just who knows? Honestly, it doesn't really matter that much. If you're out, you're out.
What do you do with a team like TCU last night with a huge national spotlight?
I don't think people were thinking that UNC was good.
Fair.
So it was awesome. They dominated. But I don't think it was enough to shoot them into the top
25. Like Florida State over number 8 Alabama.
I mean, that's significant. You're Florida State. The moment you get good, people love it. It's like BYU. The moment BYU gets good, the voters love it. Oh,
yes,
BYU
yes.
Out west, late at night, fun to watch. BYU is one of those teams. Well, Florida State obviously has a rich history. They're in. I agree completely with all those points you made.
So you think maybe 2 to 3 spots out. I think 1 spot out, but essentially the same.
I don't know that it matters that much. It's just what voters had you in what spot. It's not like they voted BYU just out. It's like, well, you had enough votes to get you – You know, some voters were, we had three voters preseason put BYU in the top 10.
That's shout out to those folks.
Without Jake Retzlaff. Like, what in the world? We wear the biggest blue goggles that exist, and even we didn't think that. Yeah, wow.
The coaches poll will be interesting as well, because BYU was 22 in the coach poll, weren't they? Or 23. Regardless, they were a few spots in.
But we don't care so much about the coaches poll. We couldn't even tell you.
It's true.
What
we
were
just
they?
Don't. We just
do we even I don't remember. I don't.
It's 23.
23? Who cares? Yeah. It's the coaches poll. It's garbage.
Well, we'll see what the media thinks of BYU in a few hours. We anticipate that poll, again, will be released at 2 p.m. Eastern around noon Mountain Time. Will BYU be in the AP Top 25? We don't think so.
If they are, cool. If they're not, that's fine. That's whatever.
But if Frank Reich had a vote, I think he'd probably put BYU in the top 25 based off of what he has been saying and seeing from BYU's early game film against Portland State. Here is Stanford's head coach and former NFL quarterback Frank Reich on what specifically he is seeing from BYU's defense.
Defensively, you know, I feel like I'm watching an NFL defense with everything they do. I mean, they do a little bit of everything. They're multiple in every way. Their pressure package is quite sophisticated. A lot of stuff you see at the NFL level, and they do a good job of executing it.
Let's dig in here. He mentioned the multiple fronts, a lot of looks. What else do you think he means by NFL-type defense?
It's hard to predict. I think at the snap, they'll show one thing, and then they'll shift to something else.
Yes, it's the disguising.
He also talked about, and I enjoyed listening to them talk yesterday, is that BYU doesn't wait till third down to bring the heat. They'll bring it on any down and from any spot. That's every defense player I've talked to on this team and that you've talked to too, I bet, have said, we love playing in it because look who's blitzing right there. That's Raider DeMooney, a strong safety. Anybody could blitz, any type of defense. BYU's not, they're calculated crazy. They're exotic. It's fun. They take calculated risks. It's not just bringing the house and one-on-one on the edge is a massive risk. No, Jay Hill is a genius. I think we should be happy and excited that Jay Hill's been here 3 years.
Yes.
He's been courted by other schools to go elsewhere. He's stayed at BYU, and we're lucky to have him. He's awesome.
Has there ever been a greater defensive coordinator?
Perhaps, but Jay Hill is one of the best I think BYU's ever had.
I want to share.
We're lucky he's here, honestly. I love Jay Hill.
I want to share a bit of a conversation I had with Jay Hill yesterday while he was getting ready for Coordinator's Corner, Greg Rebell there. So the three of us talking just before the show started, and he said, one play, he's like, I'm such an idiot. One specific play. I had the perfect defense dialed in, and I made a switch at the last second. And it was the 3rd-and-15 conversion by Portland State early in the game.
Early. The tight end screen.
Yes, he's like, that was my fault. Mm-hmm. I had the perfect defense called, and then I second-guessed at the last second, had a little stun at the front, and it ruined everything, and I'm an idiot. And he was just really hard on himself.
This just saying he's not an idiot.
You gave up 51 total yards and minus 5 rushing yards on the first. And then Greg pointed out, so was it 50? Yeah, 51 total yards.
Yeah.
Greg pointed out 47 yards from Portland State on the first two drives, 4 total yards in the next 10. In the next 10 drives.
Amazing.
4 yards in the next 10 drives.
And they had 12 plays in the second half or something?
Incredible.
Is that right?
They had
4 drives.
Incredible. So this is the level that, you know, Jay Hill is holding himself accountable.
Oh.
He was like, that never should have happened.
No, he's great. The staffers have told me, we'll go over stuff, and he remembers, like, every play. Like, photographic memory of, oh, they did this on this. Like, he just knows what he's doing. And people have said, there's nothing that another team does that we didn't prepare for. He knows, based on the film, based on the prep,
Yes.
He's just thorough.
Yes.
Thorough.
Yes, I thought that was funny.
More on Jay Hill in a moment,
fascinating.
By the way.
Yeah.
A really funny thing. Frank Reich was also asked in media availability yesterday if his familiarity with the Bachmeyers will give Stanford any sort of advantage in Saturday's game.
Listen, my experience with that kind of thing is that it usually gets overrated. So I'm not particularly worried about, you know, what they're telling them about what we do, because honestly, we've changed a good bit from when they were here.
Frank Reich took over after spring ball, so he wasn't there himself with them. But is it an advantage that BYU has two dudes that were in spring ball with Stanford?
Well, it's not a disadvantage. I don't know how much of an advantage it is. Maybe it's like, you know, you have a coupon for orange juice and it saves you 30 cents. You know? Like, okay, well, I saved 30 cents on my
orange
juice.
Do the students even know what a coupon is?
They have digital coupons. They're aware of that.
Digital coupons. They just apply right then. No one's coming in with, like, here's my...
Clip them in your digital account. You apply them to your order.
This doesn't still happen for most people.
For most people, it does not.
No, it's rare.
People that shop wisely and frugally, they use a digital
coupon. They just apply it at the front now.
Unnecessary disagreement here.
Oh, it's a sports show. My bad.
But let's say you save 30 cents on your orange. Great. You save 30 cents. It's a very small advantage. And frankly, more of it's going to come from Tiger than Bear because Tiger has been around the program a lot longer.
Well, and Bear was a QB. He knows the general
playbook.
They kept the offensive coordinator. So it's not like it's a new guy. Frank is new, but the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and that could be a ploy by Frank to say, like, oh, no, we've changed so much. But they listen, BYU's already seen Stanford. Like, they know. Like, Stanford had to show a lot because they lost against Hawaii.
Offensively, there was some value there. Defensively, no, because BYU doesn't run the run and shoot. So they're going to defend BYU differently than Hawaii. Aaron Roderick said as much.
Yeah, fair.
He's like, that film doesn't do it tons for us.
I don't know how much of an advantage. How do you quantify that? It's a slight
It's
advantage.
A five. Advantage.
Oh, it's a five. Yeah, five.
It's a 30 cent
advantage. It's a 30
advantage.
Cent coupon, Jerem. I need to introduce you.
Macy's. I saw this coupon for whatever.
Bro, we got it. I could save you a lot of money.
Oh, I saved $2.70. It's like my dad going across town to save 5 cents per gallon on gas, and it was 15 times five, it was 45 cents. It was like you drove across town to save 45 cents.
Yeah, well, you drove further, so you wasted more gas.
Yes.
And it took you
longer. It saved you 40. It's not worth it.
Yeah, but then you spent more time.
Yes. What?
Yeah,
no.
I love it.
If you missed yesterday's episode of Coordinator's Corner with Aaron Roderick, Jay Hill, they did not talk about coupons. You can find it anytime on demand on the BYU TV app.
After the break, BYU TV analyst David Nixon. He's a former NFL guy. What does he think about BYU's NFL-style defense with Jay Hill? And what does he expect from the Stanford game? This is BYU Sports Nation. Yeah.
What an opener to the 2025 season. 10, 5, dive, touchdown!
We've got to make sure that we're on top of our game.
Looking forward to the matchup.
Cody Hagan trying to take it to the house, and he will.
We're going to compete for that win.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan, and we're here to save you money on your orange juice, folks.
Something like that. The app is free, right? There's no coupon required.
Joining us now in the Cougar Council Room is former NFL and BYU linebacker great and current BYU football analyst on BYU TV, David Nixon. D-Nix, welcome back to the show, man.
I'm just here for a buy one, get one free.
BOGO.
BOGOs, any BOGO offers out there?
I'm your deal guy.
Yes, let's go.
I am your coupon deal guy. Okay, so in the spirit of deals and feeling like you got a bargain, I felt like I got a little bit of a bargain watching BYU play on Saturday because I didn't anticipate the game to be as good as it was. So you go, and then, I mean, maybe 52-0, 52-7. It's a 69-0 win. So I felt like I got a deal, David. How'd you feel about the game?
Yeah, listen, I would agree. And the deal part of it comes in the second half, where you get a lot of valuable reps for these guys, have grinded all of camp, right? And they got to come in, they got to get some reps in front of a crowd, right? There's a good chance that some of those guys don't really get to play much the rest of the season. Hopefully they don't have to, given the fact that that means that our starters have stayed pretty healthy, relatively healthy through the season. But
Or there's blowouts.
It would be great as well. Yeah. But I think it was good all around. You got the stars in for the first half. They performed. You know, they go in halftime up convincingly. They're done for the game. You don't have to worry about injuries with them in the second half. And you get youngsters able to come in and get some valuable key reps that will help them throughout the rest of the season. So I think it was a win-win all across the board. And BYU looked great doing it. You know, no really big question marks coming out of the game. And that hasn't been the case. We go back to, was it 2017 with Portland State?
I've moved on.
Where BYU won 20-6 and a lot of question marks came out. Yep. But this game, very convincing.
What did you think of Bear Bachmeyer's first start as a BYU Cougar?
Listen, I think he did what the coaching staff wanted him to do, which was manage the game, don't turn the ball over, and make the right throws. And he goes for 7-11 for 97 yards, 3 touchdowns. Love the 2 on the ground, right? Now, for me, I'm not saying Bear Bachmeyer for Heisman yet. I think this week will show us a lot. Can he stretch the field? Can he get the ball down vertically to his receivers? Can he read some defenses? We'll show today on AFR. He did a great job of going through some progressions on the touchdown to Moyaki. But, I think the vert is still out. And I think he needs to face a P4 type defense like Stanford in order to get him prepared. I think he did what the coaching staff asked him to do. They gave him some easy throws. The touchdown pass to Chase Roberts, that was an easy pass, easy catch.
A little RPO
and a little screenplay on the outside. That's what you wanted from the freshman to get him in the groove of things was doing just that. And they got him, dialed it up for him. And he did exactly what he needed to do, what they asked him to do.
BYU had, in a word, an outstanding defensive performance. 51 total yards, and we were just pointing out 47 yards in the first two drives and 4 yards total in the next 10 drives combined for Portland State. Frank Reich said, it reminds me of an NFL-style defense. Why do you think he said that, David?
I think you look at the size of this BYU defense, and you look at the length as well that they have. And then, of course, you throw in Jay Hill and the complexity he runs on these defensive schemes that he installs. I think that's exactly what Frank Reich is talking about. I mean, this is a very complex defense that has athleticism, and that hasn't always been the case. I was talking to a defensive coach during fall camp, and he was joking, "Hey, I don't know if we get to play." He played in the same defense for BYU. He goes, "I don't know if we would be able to play here at BYU today, given the fact that there's so much athleticism on this defense. These players are bigger, faster, stronger." Austin Colley and I were sitting there chatting about it too. These kids are just bigger. And they're once again, they're faster, they're stronger. They check the box, and that results in 51 yards allowed. I mean, just an incredible effort. For me, I would like to see them maybe get out to a faster start and adjust quicker, not having to take two drives to give up, a couple first downs. I'd like to see them shut them completely down. But
now we're picking nits.
But beggars can't be choosers here. So I'm happy with how they, result the rest of the game. If I could have any type of improvement, I'd like to see more turnovers. The one turnover that Portland State did have was kind of, self-inflicted. It was a fumble they had, and BYU just pounced on it. I'd like to see more interceptions. I'd like to see more guys. First guy wraps up. Second guy stripping the ball out. Right?
David, they have to throw the ball down the field.
That's true. They couldn't throw it.
They couldn't get the ball.
Did they run 12 plays again? 12
in the second half.
Yeah.
12 in the second half.
Not a lot of opportunities.
Hard to have a turnover.
Pretty good.
But listen, for this BYU defense, especially we go back to a freshman quarterback, you're going to have to create turnovers, and you're going to have to flip field position. And so just get in the habit of punching the ball out and getting the ball back in the offensive side of the hands. That's what they had the mentality of. And I know they do, but just more turnovers. I think that's going to be a big one for Stanford this week.
LJ Martin said the BYU defense is annoying. This was in training camp.
That's a great
He's like, sometimes I hate playing against them because day-to-day, it looks like an entirely different defense. What is this?
And I love that.
What is
this? Jay Hill said Bear Bachmeyer played well against our defense. That tells me he's ready for almost any opponent, right? Which is pretty good. Stanford, BYU. Cougars are an 18.5 point favorite. That's a significant number. Then you look at Stanford, you go, okay, a little disarray, interim head coach. They have won 5 games since 2018 in the season. It's been a minute. Yet, ACC foe, night game at BYU. I think BYU is going to show up in a even better way than they did Saturday because, hey, the competition goes up here.
Yeah, listen, I it's tough for me to have any takeaways from week one or week two. I think it takes a couple weeks for teams to settle in, and I think that's what we saw from Stanford against Hawaii, in their first game. It's tough to write them off or say, yeah, BYU should blow them out or whatever it may be. At the end of the day, they've got some obviously phenomenal athletes, right? And this is a P4 type program. So I think it's going to be a tough match for BYU. I think it's a good matchup. I think BYU's strengths against their strengths match up really well.
What are those?
And though that's just in the trenches. I mean, Stanford's known for recruiting tough, hard-nosed type kids, and that's exactly what BYU has. And so I think that's where, with BYU, you start to worry about a little more with speed. If you're facing a TCU of sorts, the team speed starts to worry a little bit. But I think BYU matches up well with Stanford, and that's why I think it'll be a fun game. But does BYU cover? That's a big line, and especially once again with the freshman quarterback. He's going to make some mistakes in this game. He's not, Stanford's secondary and their defense is much more skilled than Portland State's, obviously. So once again, BYU will have to have some patience with him as he kind of continues to settle into this offense. But I'm optimistic that BYU goes out there and performs well, especially at home. I mean, the crowd at this last game against Portland State was incredible.
Amazing.
And that's just a taste, dude.
Yeah, and we've seen videos of the BYU crowd. They were still chock full going into the fourth quarter when the game was way out of hand, right? And the fact that people stuck around the whole game and it was still electric going into the fourth quarter, I mean, how awesome was that?
People from all over the country are coming in for these games, too. It's not just the old Utah-Idaho gang. It's people from all over, which is incredible. So it's going to be fun. The nice thing is BYU has Stanford's best quarterback on its roster. That's nice walking into this game with Beer Bach.
Yeah, definitely nice.
Yeah.
Okay, if you had to pinpoint a threat, like a real threat that BYU is going to have to deal with from Stanford's side of the ball, what would it be? And again, I know they're not great. They're struggling. They're trying to find an identity, speaking of Stanford. But if they pose a threat, what is it?
You know, I'm going to flip that question on its head because I'm going to say that, you know, I remember Bronco would harp on this all the time. Don't worry about the opponent. Worry about yourself. And I think that when you talk about Stanford, I think the biggest threat is BYU themselves. And offensively, do they turn the ball over? That's the only way the Stanford team can stay in this game is that BYU has self-inflicted wounds. And if they turn the ball over deep in their own territory and get free points to Stanford. And so I think the biggest thing is, can you go out there and execute and obviously game plan-wise ensure that you know, you're taking care of the ball. And so offensively, that's my biggest worry here is Bear starts to try to do too much, plays outside of the offense, and next thing you know is turn the ball over. I would say one of the best surprises of this last game was LJ Martin. I mean, we'd all seen
him
in
Stanford.
Yes,
former Stanford commit.
We had seen all throughout fall camp where he was dominant, and he looked he's quicker, he's faster, he's stronger, he's healthier. And sure enough, it played out in this first game against Portland State. The way that he was able to go out there and perform, and this run right here where you've got guys dangling on him, but that goes to show you his lower body strength. I mean, and that's something we've seen. And once again, he's gotten so much stronger. His vision's better. It's just, this is what you get with veteran players, right? You let them grow up, and every year they continue to watch more film. They do some self-scouting themselves, and they recognize what they need to do, and his vision's better, his power's better. I'm excited for LJ Martin. I think this is a breakout year. I said it on the pregame show. I think he's a 1,000-yard rusher this year. And I think BYU needs to have a 1,000-yard rusher when you're talking about, once again, a young quarterback. You need a 1,000-yard rusher that can kind of alleviate some of that pressure.
David, would you say LJ Martin was the Y factor?
I heard there's some controversy. Tell me what happened. How did LJ not win it?
Listen, the defense pitched a shutout.
Wait, did you win?
Of course I did.
Oh, yeah. So you're going to defend it.
Of course I did. Yeah, naturally. I always win. Oh, wait, I didn't win one last year. But
I need to get back in that control room and get some order here.
131 yards, a career high in one half.
But hey, the case for my linebackers.
Did you pay him?
The case for my linebackers was, it was a scoop and score by Jack Kelly that really got the ball rolling. Listen, that first quarter was a little stagnant to begin with,
yeah.
Right? And then LJ Martin, you know, and then they blocked the kick, and then Jack Kelly's off to the races. So
blocked the kick? They just kick it into BYU's face mask. There was no block.
I mean, it counts. You have to get some penetration there. We're gonna break this down on AFR as well.
Yeah, the push itself. Inside.
The push inside. I mean, there's a lot to be known about that. I mean, you look at the yardage. It was a 57-yarder. Right? And the understanding that he's backed way up, so you got to get in. It's a lower trajectory.
Yep.
You can see BYU overloaded that side, got prepared for it. So there's some schematic involved in that.
Fine.
Okay.
Jay, check it out on the FR. Here it is. Ready? Into it, and then went back into
it. That's how you use your head right there. That's how you use your head.
Jay Hill said they had watched a bunch of kicks from last year, and they thought, we can block this guy. The way he's kicking it. That's, again, a Jay Hillism that's really fun. Okay, so you told us a few things you're watching. I want to bring up Michael Ford. Have you driven Ford lately? He is the guy for Stanford. They want an identity. We know what Stanford wants to do. They want to run the rock, pound it, play action. They have a good tight end.
Bleed the clock.
Yes.
Oh, Dave, they're going to try and bleed the clock.
They dominate possession. Boring. Anyways, Ford went for 100-plus. If BYU can slow him down in some way, I think Stanford has no chance.
Yeah, and I have so much
confidence. Minus the turnover thing you brought
up,
which is a good point.
Yeah, no, I have so much confidence in BYU front seven defensively. I mean, and John Taupeo and coming up. I mean, we all knew Keanu Tanavasa was going to be incredible. But how about JT? I mean, the game he had, not only obviously the block kick, but his presence there on the inside and his runs, you know, the ability for him to stop the run. I think Stanford's going to have a really tough time trying to run the ball. So then they're sitting there in their meetings this week thinking, okay, so how are we going to beat this BYU defense? It's going to be trying to go over the top with some play action. And so BYU, understand the sticks, understand the situational awareness, be prepared for that. But I think they're going to have a really tough time getting the ball, you know, getting yards on the ground just because BYU is so stout up front. And that's one of the question marks that was answered, right? BYU, you knew you had Keanu Tanavasa, but inside and kind of D-line, what was the answer going to be? And JT stepped up and kind of answered a lot of those
questions.
Nisa Purcell
was good, too. Had a sack.
Yeah, 100%. I, like I said, very happy with that front seven. once again, we all throw the asterisk in there. We understand it's Portland State. They're not very good this year. Yep. But the fact they were in their proper gaps and looking scheme-wise, they were doing their jobs, like that's a great start.
And most importantly, David, do you believe in using digital coupons in a grocery store app?
No, never used one in my life. The time I'm going to spend on coupons, I'd rather spend doing something else and just pay the extra 40 cents.
Watching film. Yes, yeah, there you go. Yes.
I'll
just do it at the
I love it.
Check out. Thanks, David. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, always
tune
fun.
Tune in for, if you like that, just wait till 7 Eastern time on After Further Review. David Nixon, the star of the show. David Blainer on it as well. Tonight, 7 Eastern, they break down the film against Portland State.
Another top 10 team makes the trek to Southfield tonight. We preview a huge matchup for BYU women's soccer next in headlines on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B, clean up on aisle 4.
Stop.
I am Spencer Linton. He is Jeremy
special.
Jordan. Let's get to today's deal-breaking headlines.
After beating Portland State 69-0 in week one, BYU football turns its attention to Stanford, who is still in the ACC, according to sources. Here's Kalani Sitake on the challenge the Cardinal presents.
They have a really good system. I mean, obviously, Frank Reich's leading the way as head coach. And you look at the staff, they're a really good coaching staff, good talent on their team. And yeah, I mean, all you have to do is look at the guys that we got from there. I mean, we got Bear and Tiger, and they came from there.
BYU currently an 18.5 point favorite, over under 5.5. Andrew Luck, cutaways.
Oh, more. I'm over. I'm over.
Pregame begins Saturday, 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
11th-ranked BYU women's soccer hosting number 8 Arkansas tonight.
Let's go!
Southfield.
That's a big one.
Cougars trying to remain unbeaten. There will be new rankings in play by the time we hit game time, so we'll see where both teams sit. But it'll be a ranked matchup regardless. Former Cougar Aaron Bailey scored against Arkansas last season in a 4-2 loss by BYU in Fayetteville. She makes a return to Provo tonight, playing now for the Razorbacks. Coverage begins 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
Matt and Summer Zoviat and Cassidy Drago of BYU Women's Soccer have been called up to the American Samoa Women's National Soccer Team Training Camp September 3rd through the 8th. They're going to miss a couple of games. Best of luck to them. Try and make the squad. That's awesome.
Very cool. Elite talent there. BYU Women's Volleyball moves up one spot to number 18 in the latest AVCA rankings. After opening their season with 3 wins, the Cougars play Northern Colorado Thursday, 8 Eastern, on ESPN+.
The Bears. Justin Sterner pitched 1 1/3, scoreless inning, striking out 1 for the A's in an 11-3 win over the Cardinals last night. Shout out Jason Shepard. Sterner has an ERA of 3.64 and 54 1/3 innings pitched on the season.
He's going to get paid, Jerem.
He might have to move from my neighborhood if that's the case. Mm-hmm.
Connor Mance. How about this? The cross-country superstar and running superstar in general lowered his own American record in the 20K with a USATF title and ran it in 56 minutes and 16 seconds in New Haven, Connecticut. And Aubrey Friendaway won the women's 20K to win her first American title.
Winning. Brigham Young.
After the break, Jeremy goes one-on-one with BYU offensive lineman Bruce Mitchell on how BYU was able to have so much success against Portland State. This is BYUSN.
Bruce. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I'm Jeremy Jordan. He is Spencer Linton. BYU center Bruce Mitchell is from Camas, Utah, where he was a big fish in a small pond. Now he's calling the shots for an offensive line that put up some serious points and yards for BYU Saturday against Portland State. Bruce, what a game by you guys. Almost 70 points, 600 yards, 468 rushing yards. What did you like the most about what you did on offense?
It was a really fun game. I think as an offensive lineman, you're always happy to run the ball. And we have great running backs, great schemes. So we were able to do that. I think it was, a lot of fun running the ball. We had some misdirection reverse kind of plays that got us big chunks of yardage as well using the wideouts. But that was my favorite part of the game, was running the ball and then being able to come out in the second half and watch those young guys go out there and do the same thing was a lot of fun. They don't get enough credit sometimes because I was that young guy not too long ago, but they're out there every single day in fall camp and spring ball and summer conditioning just like we are, but they always don't get the limelight like us. So it was good to see those guys go out there, score some touchdowns, run the ball as well, but really fun Saturday overall, and hopefully we can have some more fun Saturdays.
Talk about that tornado reverse. When it works against the defense in practice, you have confidence that it's going to work in the game. That's what Aaron Roderick said on Coordinator's Corner. And the fact that you, when you hear that call and you know, okay, this is going to Cody, what are you thinking in that moment?
No, it was fun. We were running a lot of counters, so I knew they were going to bite. The linebackers were going to follow the guard. And I remember the play call. So me and Andrew Gentry are the linemen kind of releasing on that. And we released, and there was like two guys out there. So I knew we had a touchdown. But even Bear in the huddle, he's funny. He, right before he makes the play call, he's like, here we go, boys, touchdown. Makes the play call, and then sure enough. So, no, that was a really fun play call. Happy to get that big yardage and play a role as a lead blocker on it. But, no, as second as they called it and I seen those linebackers flying, I was like, oh, this is a touchdown. Bear knew what he was talking about.
I love that. That's great. Talking to Bruce Mitchell on BYU Sports Nation. Seeing new guys score touchdowns, there were a lot of first-timers. What's it like when you see, you know, Noah Moyaki and Carson Ryan and Dom McKenzie and Charles Miska? There's getting touchdowns. What was that like?
It was I really like the tight ends getting touchdowns. Sometimes I feel like they're an extra O-lineman. They're in the run games a lot with us, pass pros a lot with us. So it's always fun to see those guys get touchdowns. I love Carson and Noah. Good to see them getting in the end zone. And you know, with Charlie, that was awesome. I mean, nobody works harder in this building. I think the sideline just went bananas when he got that touchdown. So really fun to see those guys get in the end zone. Hopefully we can get a lot more guys in the end zone as the season goes on and they can get in there again. But no, it was just a fun game overall and fun to be able to see those guys play a role.
There's only five dudes in FBS who have two runs of 40-plus yards. LJ Martin's one of them. What would you like to see LJ go off for a career high in just two quarters?
It was crazy. There's a couple of those runs. I was kind of like walking my guy the other direction, and I just hear the crowd going crazy kind of situation, and then kind of pull my helmet out and look, and LJ's just sprinting down the field. He's another guy. There's very few people that work as hard as LJ, so it's good to see his hard work paying off. And, man, he's such a smart running back. Him and Sione, just so happy to have them on our team. And they can make some very explosive plays, as you've seen on Saturday, and hopefully we have some more as the season goes on.
How would you describe what the game day atmosphere has become at BYU?
It's crazy. So my nieces, they came to this game because it was an earlier one, but my mom's telling me about all the festivities they have before the game, like kids going on the slide, they've got their face painted. Like it is such a fun place to be on game day, and there's so much going on. I don't know. It's awesome. And as a kid who grew up a BYU fan, it's so awesome to be a part of it and what it's becoming and what it will be, what it will become. No, it's an awesome game day atmosphere. You don't have to go very far to find major Power Four football than Utah. So it's an awesome place to be.
They added drone shots outside the stadium.
Yeah, I seen that.
It looked incredible, right? And then just the after the third quarter, celebrate Cosmos on the scoreboard and everyone's going crazy. You guys got into it quite a bit. That's kind of the most I've seen the team. I mean, game's well in hand. You guys were getting around.
Yeah, I think it helped that a lot of us were out for the game, so we were just excited to see the fourth quarter show. And it was funny, Keanu came up to me after the fourth quarter show, and he's like, holy crap, dude. Like, I was like, yeah, man.
Welcome.
This thing is awesome. You got fireworks going off. No, it's a really fun atmosphere, and no, I love it. You don't find it really anywhere else. I haven't been everywhere else, but everywhere I've been, it's not like it is at BYU.
It's special. And let's finish with a thought on Stanford. You're going to dig into the film, of course, but the team coming off a bye week that certainly is in a little bit of disarray, but you look at Stanford and you have a certain amount of respect for the athletes that they have there.
Definitely. No, it was fun to be able to watch them in Portland State on week zero, watch Portland State in the morning and then Stanford in the evening. Been able to watch their Hawaii game since. And Hawaii runs quite a different offense than us, run and gun, air raid kind of thing. They're throwing the ball quite a bit. But the thing that pops off the film to me is just how athletic their D-line is, especially their interior. So should be a fun matchup, and hopefully we can handle them as an offense and get another win.
Are you hoping to give up no sacks, of course, but if they do, that they will do the TikTok dance again to get a penalty?
Yeah, I'll take 15 free yards. Never going to complain about that.
That was hilarious. Right. I really enjoyed that. That was funny. Well,
yeah. Bruce,
best of luck. Appreciate a couple minutes, and go get them against Stanford, man.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bruce Mitchell, good stuff. BYU football with Kalani Sitake's tonight. The head coach, Keanu Tanevasa, joined Greg Rebell in Studio C to recap the win over Portland State and preview the Stanford game. 8:30 Eastern tonight on the BYU TV app.
Okay, week one officially in the books of the college football season. So we need to recap week one of Big 12 Pick'em. Did Tanner Mangum win the week of all three of us? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It's time we recap some Big 12 Pick'em results.
Oh, Tanner
and
got us.
Look at that. Tanner Mangum, 6 out of 7 games to open up the season. You and I both 5-2, Jerem.
Another week one spectacular performance for Tanner Mangum like 2015.
We all missed on Baylor. Jerem, you missed on Cincinnati. They lost to Nebraska. I missed on UCLA, who got blown out by Utah.
Just barely missed that one. Yep.
All right. That said, let's get to our top five scoring plays from the BYU football blowout of Portland State as our top five Tuesday special. Starting with number 5.
Bear Bachmeier's 12-yard TD run, one of 2 TD runs for him. Gives him the juice and dives in. Air Bear, as we could call him. Air Bear in the end zone, one of 5 touchdowns on the day.
Or is it a Care Bear, Jerem?
Nice. Care Bear countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number 4. Not sure how to recover after that, but I'll try.
Apply our coupons.
Will Ferrin, yes. Will Ferrin is definitely a buy one, not even a buy one, just a free coupon. Jerem.
Just free.
He's
just
automatic.
Knock it.
He's
he
automatic.
Is automatic, dude.
Record tying 56-yard field goal. Ferrin, and he drilled it. Jerem, would have been good probably from 10 yards further. We both think he's going to break the record at some point this season.
Absolutely. Number 3, Cody Higgins, 57-yard tornado reverse. We just heard from Bruce Mitchell, who told me, Bear Bachmeier said in the huddle, this is going for a touchdown. And it did. The speedster, the 100-200 champ in Utah State track and field in the second quarter, goes the distance for his first of many touchdowns at Brigham Young University's intercollegiate football team.
That's a great way to score a first touchdown.
It's awesome.
Like an exciting play like that. At number 2, speaking of first touchdowns in his BYU career, Carson Ryan with the juggling act of a catch.
What a grab.
On the throw from Bear Bachmeier. Ryan, well, he led BYU in receiving yards. This one from 22 yards away holds off the Portland State defender who initially knocked it away. It's great concentration, my friend.
It's amazing. Number 1, John Taumoipeo. Takes one right in the face mask. They give him a block for it. Ready? Poof.
It all counts the same.
Jack Kelly runs all the way to Santa Fe for the touchdown for the first score of the year. We all had that one. Jack Kelly would have the first score of the year.
Once again, Isaiah Glasker, lead, like, he's up front. With
he's
his
just,
arms extended.
With all my roof.
I love that that's a thing for Isaiah.
He did it with Parker Kingston
or Jack Kelly.
One day Isaiah is going to be the one going in. He did against Arizona last year.
I love that. Yeah. All right, our question of the day. Where do you rank BYU among all 16 Big 12 teams after 1 week?
We both had them at number 4.
Yes. Yeah. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, in from Thank You Larry Scott.
Still funny. Okay. Still funny.
Who says BYU is ranking the Big 12 easy first. Points scored first, points allowed first, number of players played first, blue goggles worn first.
Okay, then. I like that. Yeah.
Just... in that world? First.
And that's the elite voice of the, that's awesome. That's great. First. The first one.
Really, it was Thank You Larry Scott that put it
put him
the
over
elite
the top.
Category.
It wasn't the actual content.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Okay, we didn't show this yesterday, so we have to bring this back from Saturday. Cosmo's stunt during the game was a 150-inch, aka 12 and a half feet, belly flop into not that much water, Spencer. Look at this.
The camera.
Not that much water. That's amazing. There can't be more than what? 12, 18 inches of water in there?
I was at the time I was talking with Jackson Dart and Brandon Dart, his dad, and they said, oh, you're probably gonna turn around and see this. So I turned around and I didn't miss it.
That's awesome. Cosmo, you crazy cat, we love you.
Our thanks to today's guest, David Nixon, and BYU center, Bruce Mitchell.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Michael Alisa. After further review tonight, and soccer shortly thereafter.
And Satake Show.
That's right.
All of it.